and thought, oh Lord, I need some, and it's gone. He cares about the little things. I knew it wasn't anything really big. You know, you feel those little things every once in a while.
Yes.
And but I knew that standing up here and having that was going to be something that would draw my attention. And so I just appreciate the Lord touching me.
Thank you, Lord.
I appreciate the Lord how he inspired me with a scripture. And I think, I don't know, I heard it somewhere last week. And I don't remember if it was in a meeting, if it was in my private devotion. I don't know where it was. But as I thought and thought on that scripture, it inspired me.
Thank God.
So we want to talk this morning about believe. What you believe. And the scripture that inspired me was John 11:40. And this is Martha. Jesus is talking to Martha after standing at the grave. And Martha has just told him, but, you know, his body stinketh now because he's been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, "Say not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And we know that what happened, that he did come forth. He came back from the dead. And he said, "If thou wouldest believe, thou wilt see the glory of God." You know, it's those that have believed past all obstacles, those that have believed for great things, that have seen the glory of God come in great ways. I often think of Sister Heskey and the different things that they would trust the Lord for when they were working in Mexico. How they wouldn't have food and they just have to pray. Don't have food. We don't have this. We don't have that. And here would come the very next day, a big box, you know, from the States with all their needs supplied in it. See, if thou wouldst believe. There have been people down through history that have believed. George Mueller was a person that believed that God could supply all the needs for an orphanage. And he prayed down their food every day. And they would be down to their last meal. And he would pray, they would pray it down. They would all meet together. And all the workers there, and they would pray it down. And the Lord would deliver food to their door and or provide them money or whatever. And it would be things, sometimes it would be things where it had been on its way for a while. See, the first time we pray for something and it doesn't happen, we tend to get discouraged. But in Daniel, there's a scripture that said that the answer was coming from the first prayer. And it was hindered along the way, but it was coming from the very first prayer. And that's what we have to believe, that it is coming from the first prayer. From the first time we petition the Lord, it doesn't mean that we stop. We keep on petitioning. But we have to believe. The world does not believe in a Savior. They don't believe in a hereafter life. They don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in hell. They do believe that we are foolish. They do believe that the world knows better. Education is more important. They even believed in the Bible day that the disciples were unlearned and ignorant men. They believed that. And yet they said, but they took note they'd been with Jesus. Jesus didn't choose out of this life the highly educated. He didn't choose back in his day. He didn't choose just all those that were good speakers. He didn't choose all those that were highly educated. He had a variety of disciples. And he chose even those that were unlearned and ignorant. What they mean by no education in the regular system of schooling that they had at that time. God has always chosen to show forth his glory through things that don't look like what the world thinks it should look like. He has always chosen to do that. So if we would believe, we can see the glory of God in a greater way in our life, if we will believe in just being saved. We have to believe just to be saved. In Romans 10, 9 through 11, it says, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And then we know John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. And he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten of God. He told one of his disciples, Thomas, who was doubtful, he said, I won't believe that Jesus is risen. I won't believe it till I see the nail scars in his hands and thrust my hand in his side and see that this is really him. And when he came and stood before Jesus, and Jesus said, come, see. He didn't know God had been listening to everything he said. He says, come, see this in my hands, and put your hand here in my side, and be believer, be believing. And what did he say? Oh, my Lord, my God, and my whatever he said, he acknowledged. Now, oh, there are so many things. We believe when we get saved, we believe that there really is a God. And we believe that he really will save us when we come. There's a belief that happens. But you know, it's not something many times that is thought out ahead of time. It is an inspiration that happens. People that come into our services, or even when we first got saved, it wasn't because we believed and we had been thinking about it all day, and we had believed and we had thought about, okay, this is right and that's right, and the scriptures line up and this and that. Something that happened inside of us that caused us to believe that if we could make it to an altar of prayer, God would do something for us. We believed that. And he did. He did do something for us. We didn't come doubting, saying, oh, I don't know if he can save me or not. I don't know if I can ever this or that. No, we came. Something was troubling our heart, and something was bubbling up there. There was a belief that began to take hold, and we began to believe the stories we heard, the scriptures maybe that we had heard from time to time. We began to believe because of the people's lives that we had watched. And we began to believe that if we made it to an altar, we could have faith. It takes belief. We have to believe. We want to see the glory of God rich in our lives. We want to see the glory of God rich in the congregation, rich in the church in general. Believe. And we have to believe for greater things than we've already seen. You know, for greater things. It says in Mark 16:15-18. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. This is our job. We had a Sunday school this morning about planting seeds. And we discussed about how planting seeds isn't just always, you know, intentionally thinking about what we're going to say to somebody or thing, but when an opportunity comes up, just as even as in the grocery store and somebody asks, how are you today? And you say, good, thank the Lord, you have planted a seed. You're just scattering seeds everywhere. How many times has it happened when you said, good, thank the Lord, and they come back with, and they start telling you their problems, and they start asking, you know, well, pray for me, I'm having this problem or that or what. And you're right here in the grocery store in line with all these people. Here we feel funny testifying for the Lord in front of all these people. But those people, the clerks there, think nothing of just emptying out their whole life in front of everybody and asking you for prayer. They're not ashamed of
right.
We're just oppressed. The devil just tries to oppress us and keep us down. We're supposed to be as free as they are, to be able to talk and to give forth the things that God has done for us. Anyway, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. In other words, if they don't believe your report, it doesn't matter what they do with it. What matters is that you believe and you cast out your seed, as we studied about. You give forth what you need to do, and God takes care of the rest. And he said, and those that believe and then are baptized can be saved. In other words, they come and they repent of their sins and they think about all the things that they have done. And they think about, they just want to be free of all the evils that are in their life, the things that they are doing that they know they shouldn't be doing. They know that they shouldn't be living like this, but they're doing it anyway. The devil's trying to make. When you're praying for somebody and it comes out of your mouth, you know, help them with this and rebuke the devil over that and bless them and heal their body. All these things that we say in our prayers, do you believe those things? Do you believe them? Do you believe something special has happened or it doesn't come true? Do you believe that something is, you know, that has to be just minister or just this person he says it happened. What can happen through your prayers? Through your belief. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall do these things. Then it says in Matthew 28 and 29. And when he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Oh, there's isn't it easy? You know, we're praying, but when we pray for ourselves, we start having doubts, fears, and different things.
There's no Matthew
28:29. I'm sorry.
Nine.
Matthew 9, verse 28:29. Matthew chapter 9, verse 28:29. He says, but it's according to your faith, be it unto you. So many times we believe greatly for other people. But when it comes to ourselves, our faith doesn't reach out the same kind of way. We don't quite believe for us. Now, what do you think that is? Do you think that's just that you're a bad person and you don't have any faith and you don't have any belief and so your prayers aren't answered? That isn't what you think.
No.
That isn't what's happening. You believe for others. You can, even though you have a problem with believing for your particular trial or test or affliction or whatever, even though you may be struggling, but right there with your own, when you get a prayer request in, that struggle doesn't transfer to them. Have you ever noticed? That struggle does not transfer to them. You just pray, expecting God to do something for them.
Yes.
So what is happening when you're when you have this for yourself? It's the enemy of your soul coming over you and trying to fill your mind with what if and what if that and this happens and what if that happens. See, when we get a request for somebody else, we don't start thinking on our mind, oh no, well, what if this happens to him or what if that happens to him? No, we just take it to the Lord in prayer and expect God to do something with it. But the enemy of our soul and of our mind begins to work on our belief process for us alone, for us. And he begins to throw in all the what ifs and all the dire predictions and all these things. But he doesn't do that for all the others. We need to understand that the same belief that we have, that we, when we pray and believe that he's going to touch everybody else and all of their problems and all those things, is the same belief that we have to have for ourselves, that he's going to touch ours too.
Okay.
But you know what the difference is? We are not personally involved in their outcome. You understand that? We're not personally involved in their outcome. In other words, we're not feeling their pain. It's not raging through our body. And so we're not personally involved in that. So we can reach out to God and say, oh God, touch their pain and touch this and do that. But when we're racked with pain, all of a sudden we say, oh Lord, touch this pain. And we're like, oh, soon, help me, I need more, oh no, I'm still in pain, you see what I mean? We go places with it that we don't go when we're praying for somebody else. Our belief system in our minds is different for others than it is for us. And we need to get a hold of the fact that it's the same belief. It's the same one. And just because it personally affects us, and isn't it easy to look out over something that is happening and somebody is older in age and they're going through all these problems and sicknesses, and isn't it easy for us to say, Lord, you see them. They fought a good fight. If it's their time to go, Lord, then, you know, just take them home. Isn't that easy to say? But for yourself, it's not so easy. Lord, I've been fighting a good fight. I'm racked with pain, and I have this, and I have that. And Lord, if it's my time to go, just go ahead and take me. Well, not very many of us are praying those kind of prayers. Why is it? Because what we believe for others, that abstract thing out there for others, is not challenged. But what we believe for ourselves and our belief system for us personally is challenged every day by the enemy of our soul. And we have to realize that we have to believe God past all of that. And we have to have our belief has to be stronger than our fears, has to be stronger than all the doubts that the Satan tries to push into our minds and wedge into our consciousness. Our belief has to be stronger. All right. Mark 11. Verse 23 through 26. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Yeah. You find this hard to put into practice sometimes. Mountain. In the Greek, it means any kind of a rising up, any kind of a rearing up of something, something that comes up in our life that wasn't there before. All of a sudden, it has come up. It looks like a mountain. Because we were having such a good time just walking along that valley floor, and there was nothing in our way, and then all of a sudden this rises up. But who shall say to this mountain, this rising up in your life, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. Oh, you know what our problem is with this one? Is that what we do is, I'm having trouble on my job. So instead of saying, Lord, help me in this trouble in my job. Help me to get the lesson I need. Help me, you know, remove this from me. Many times what we do is we decide the best way that's supposed to happen. Lord, get good job. You see, we jump several steps here that the Lord wants us to go through first. We jump to the thing that we say, oh, just give us a new job. Not knowing anything that's going to be in that new job. Jumping from the fire, from the frying pan into the fryer for all we know. But we say, Lord, give us a new job. You think God is going to remove that mountain and give you a new job? Or is he more pleased with you saying, Lord, you see the problems I'm having. You see what is taking place. Would you deliver me out of these? Would you help me? Help me to learn what I need to learn. If there's anything I'm doing, show it to me so that I do not present myself in a way that causes these problems. Yeah. Deal with the person that's bringing the problems. Lord, I don't know what's in their life. Remove the mountains in their life. Maybe they're having marital problems and horrible problems at home, and they're just taking it out on you at work. But Lord, bless them and help them and work with them. Do something with them, Lord, along with yourself. See, there's a way to pray to get what we ask for. But when we make up our minds what it is we need and we ask for that thing, we may not get it. Because that may not be what God allowed this thing to come for. He has something else in mind. And then in 5 and 26, and it says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you." So there's some things attached to removing mountains. There's some things attached to it. So on my job, using the same example, if I haven't forgiven the person for all the things they've been doing and saying, right? I can't forgive them for all of the backbiting and all the things they've been doing behind my back. If I can't forgive them for taking the credit that was really mine, I can't forgive them for when they laid more work on me that really wasn't mine, and they gave, if I can't forgive them for all of that and have charity and love towards them, then have I conquered the mountain, or did the mountain conquer me? You see, God allows mountains to rise up, that rising up, and it's for a good and a purpose. Do I let it work the good and the purpose? There are many, many things attached to the things that we have to believe. It says believe and you can remove these mountains. See, do some praying for that other person and help and bless them and ask God to deal with them and to help them and to help you to know how to bear it. You know, in our day and age, it's hard for people to bear anything. It's our world has gotten so sensitive, we can't use a certain word because they can't bear it to have one word used out of the whole English language. But this one word, I just fall over and can't help myself. That's not what God is expecting out of us. There's going to be many words. They call Jesus all manner of names and words. Was he offended? Did he no longer go and talk with them? Did he no longer have anything to do with them? Did he walk away and say, "Well, you don't want what I have, so you're, I'm not going to come here anymore"? That's what he did. Yeah. He kept going back in. He kept talking to all those people. He kept doing those things. And he cried over them. He cried over them. Over their, what happened to them? What was happening to them? You cry over that person that's giving you a hard time at work? You cry over them? You cry over their soul? You cry over their disposition and how they've been and all the misery they must be going through, projecting out all of that before you are. I've told you this before, I was going down the freeway. I don't know what I did, but I must have done something wrong because the man went by and he was so angry at me. He did all kinds of gestures and everything else and yelling through his winch. You know, he didn't have his window down, but yelling. And I could see the words he was saying, you know. And all I could do was say, "Sorry, sorry," you know. And after he went by, I thought, "Oh, Lord." And, you know, I started to cry. I said, "Because you know what I've done, Lord? You see what I've done. This is like 7 o'clock in the morning. I have ruined this man's day. This man has so let loose with all of his whatever frustration or whatever. I've ruined his day. He was a working man. He may be a boss over somebody. He's going to go and treat one of his workers bad now because I did something foolish on the freeway." And I cried. I literally cried for him and asked the Lord to bless him and help him. And help him not to let this carry through his day. Help him to look at me and say, "Well, she said she was sorry. I'll just forget it." You know, I mean, to let, you know, forgiveness and all. I prayed for him. Is that what we do to remove these mountains?
Because see, mountains are coming. The Lord allows mountains.
Yes.
In our lives to come over and over and over. And about the time you think you've gotten off this mountain and, oh, I can breathe easy, don't just wait a few days. Another one's coming. Another one's coming. Why? Because I need to be corrected so bad. I need my inner man corrected and improved so badly. And God is too good to let things just slide. He's just too good. He's too good to let me just slide on in this reckless manner of never looking at myself and never thinking I've done anything wrong and it's always the other person. He's too good.
That's right.
So, Hebrews 11 and 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, God must believe, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, we believe that. We believe he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And sometimes we don't think we're worthy of the reward because we find lacks in places that we weren't diligent in our life. And so it's hard for us to ask for something because we recognize the lacks. But do you know you can take those things to the Lord and recognize them before God, ask him to help you with them, and then you can ask largely. You can ask, because he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of them that are diligent in their own lives to seek what they're lacking. See, he rewards that. If all you want to see is what other person's doing, if all you want is to be taken out of this trial, if all you want is to just be taken out of an affliction or whatever, if that's all you're after, you're missing the reward.
That's right. Amen.
The reward is to them to diligently seek him for themselves, for what they need, for the things that they don't even know about. When something hits your life, is your immediate reaction, oh no, not again, or oh, I didn't need this right now. Or, oh, Lord, I'm already going through so much. Is that what the reaction is?
No.
Or when something comes our way, is our first reaction is, oh, Lord, what do I need? What? Why is this here? What is it that I'm needing? What is it that really I have not seen about myself? What is it you're working with that I don't know what it is? See, I believe he's a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. But you got to seek him for the right thing. He doesn't, if we can diligently seek him all day long for a brand new car, we may not get that new car. We can diligently seek him for a brand new house, for all these different things. Lord, I need a higher paying job. We may diligently seek him and we may pray on for years and years. But if we diligently seek him for the right things, which is always the inside of us,
amen.
The inside of us is what we should be diligently seeking about.
Amen.
If we diligently seek him about the inside of us, he will reward us. He will give us those things that we need. All right, in Mark 9, 23 and 24. Mark 9, 23 and 24. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. This is the child with the dumb spirit. The disciples couldn't cast him out and brought him to Jesus. Said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief.
Amen.
Listen. He first, he said, I believe. And then he said, help my unbelief. And Jesus said, if you can just believe, all things are possible. When we come to God, we are to believe him first. And then we are to say that, help my unbelief. See, when we come to God, there's something that's entered our lives, something that we're facing or whatever. We come to God. We are first to tell him all the things we do believe. You know what I'm saying? We are to tell him, Lord, I know you are there watching me. I know you love me. I know. So you start counting off the things that you believe. Because you're having trouble feeling like the Lord could just take this away or take that away or whatever it is. And then you get there after you've told him all the things you believe. And let me tell you something. When you start telling the Lord all the things you believe, there is something that happens inside of you. There's a faith that rises up when you begin to say all the things you believe. And then this one little thing you're seeking for him right now, how does that stack up with all these other things that you believe? It's just one thing. And all these others you do believe. Yeah, I've been having trouble believing for this, but all these other things I believe, and I am going to believe you for this also. I'm going to believe this also. Help me to believe for this also. There are times that those kind of things happen and things come against us. And it's hard for us to believe for something, but if we will recite before the Lord all the things we do believe, all the things that he has already done, all the things, Lord, you touched this and you touched that. And if we let him help us, then we can get rid of our unbelief for a certain situation. First John, or chapter 5, 13 through 15. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. These things have all been written for you, to you that believe on the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. If we ask anything according to his will, what is according to God's will? Is it to relieve you of every burden and take away every obstacle in your life? Is that God's will?
No.
What is it that we believe and that he hears us if we ask? If he hears us, whatsoever we ask. Whatsoever we ask. God, there are many people that say all their prayers are, you know, if it be thy will. And there's nothing wrong with praying like that. Unless that phrase makes your belief falter. See, there are some people that are having trouble believing that, say, for a healing. I'm having trouble believing that I'm going to be healed, so I say, well, Lord, heal me if it's your will, because they're having trouble believing it, so they kind of throw it all back on God and say, if it's your will. And God says, if you believe, you can see the glory of God. You can see what God will do. You see, it's different than the way we do with this scripture.
If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. What is his will for us? That we prosper in the things of God. That's his will. That's his whole will for mankind. That we will prosper in the things of God. So anything that we ask that has to do with prospering in the things of God, we know we have that petition. We have that one. We have it. Is it the only way I can prosper is if I come out of this pain in my body?
No.
The only way I can prosper is if the people that are treating me so bad at work, if they all get fired. Is that the only way I can prosper there?
No.
You see, we ask according to his will, but we're asking amiss, kind of consuming it upon our own lust. In other words, make life easy for me. And God said that through much tribulation, you're going to make it in. In Revelation, it says, where did these all come from? Through great tribulation is where they came from. That's our life with the Lord. Because we live in a world full of sin. We live in a world full of people that are full of sin. So how could our life be flowery and easy and a bed of roses and all those things when everybody around us is not living like that? No, that isn't our life. And because we came out of sin and learned so many things out there when we were in sin, we have a lot of things for the Lord to make over and make us different. And many ways of thinking and the way we handle problems and the way we have a tendency to get in our own head. There are some people that get in their own head more than others. They just revel around in there, thinking that they're going to come to this great revelation in their own head.
Yeah.
Isn't going to happen. You find yourself going over and over things in your own head, you need to stop.
Because
your own head doesn't have any answers. You need to take those things and put it before God. So if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We have the petitions. Philippians 1:29. For unto you is given on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Oh, now how does this work? Okay, we're going to suffer for his sake, and the Lord heals. If they're not opposite. They're not on opposite places. Because the things that we suffer help us to heal. Do you know that?
Yes.
The things we suffer mentally, even physically, help us to heal on the inner man.
That's right.
They help us to heal. God has made provision for our body.
Yes.
And most people, when they say that they have faith and they trust the Lord and they believe in God, they're talking about just divine healing. And that's just one aspect of all those scriptures.
Yeah.
That's just one. He wants us to be in health and prosper in our soul.
Yeah.
In our soul. Not just our body. He has things that he wants to do for us and help us to be able to show forth the praises of God. If we don't suffer, nobody looking on is going to see anything different than what they go through. But when we suffer and we attack it and challenge it and work with it, different than they do, that's what they see.
Yeah.
Because if you say, oh, I had this horrible, horrible migraine headache, and the Lord came, he just healed it. You know what they're going to say in their mind?
Yeah. You know, we might have any other kids. They should have one of mine. You see, that's what they're going to say. But when they see you suffer under it, when you're maybe at work and you're suffering under it, and even they notice, and they say, do you have a headache? You look so, you know, stressed. You know, yes, I have a headache. Oh, I know what that feels like. They get empathy for you. Then when you go back and tell them what God did, and they know they can't get rid of theirs like that.
Right.
See, it makes a difference. So we suffer for ourselves and for others.
Yes, true.
That they might be able to see what a suffering Christian looks like. Because none of us are going to get out of this world without suffering.
That's right.
None of us are. And then we're going to have an added suffering that the world doesn't get. And that is to suffer for the name of Christ.
Amen.
Just because you're a Christian, there are certain things that are coming your way.
That's right.
Certain laws are going to be against you. You know, certain neighbors are going to be against you. Certain people at your workplace are going to be against you just because you're a Christian and what they think about it. And you're going to suffer under their hands. But God wants to show forth his glory in that.
Amen.
He wants to show forth his glory. That no matter what they do, no matter what they say, they couldn't destroy you.
Amen.
They couldn't put you down so far you couldn't get up.
That's right.
And you know the enemy's behind it all anyway.
Yeah.
There have been many, many times that people have suffered, have so convinced their persecutors that their persecutors changed.
Mm-hmm.
They changed. You didn't change. You were still just going through. But they changed. Why? Because God has appointed unto us to go through this life experiencing all the things the world experiences. Experience all the heartaches, all of the joys, all of the misrepresentations, all the lies, all the times that people do something to them, all the times that people try to manipulate them and do this, that. He has appointed unto us to go through it all and show forth the glory of God.
Amen.
I believe that I'm going through this, Lord, to glorify your name. I want to glorify you personally. How do I handle this? How do I go through this? I want to, in my own life, glorify you. Nobody may ever see this part. But I want to glorify you, not feel sorry for myself, not, you know, all the things that we can do when we feel like it's too much. I want to glorify you in my personal space that nobody may ever know about. But Lord, I want to glorify you on the stage of the world. That they can see there's something different that motivates me. And that I love them even when they're mean to me. And I do good for them even when they're mean to me. I still am that person. I am showing forth the glory of God in my life. You can't say enough bad words to me.
That's right.
To get me to react bad back to you. Why? Because I have yielded myself inside to God. I believe he is a rewarder if I diligently seek him. If I diligently seek him not to be bothered by what people say.
Yeah.
I diligently seek him not to let words be a trigger for me. If I diligently seek him for those things, that he will change me on the inside.
Yeah.
People will say, wow. You know, that person said so-and-so, and you didn't even react.
Right.
They expect you to react. But you didn't even react. Why? Because God has done something. I believe God can change me on the inside, that I do not have to act like the world, that I can be like Jesus, who loved those that spoke against him, who loved those that didn't do right by him. He loved those that called him names. He loved those that sought to kill him, and he forgave them.
Amen.
Right on the cross, in the midst of his most horrible pain, He said, forgive them. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know. They didn't know the forces that were working. They didn't know the prophecies that were being fulfilled. They didn't understand all of that. Someday they might. But they didn't right then. Just forgive them, Lord. Yeah. They didn't know.
Amen.
John. No, I want to go to James first. James 2 and what do you think here? Where do I want to go? 18 and 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. That's the whole idea. I'm showing forth what I believe by what I do. Then it says, thou believest there is one God? That's good. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Just because you believe there's one God, you're not putting any more belief in it than what the devils believe. But when you believe in that God to come in and do things for you personally, that's where it's different. But the devils believe and tremble. They believe and tremble. So we have to have more of a belief than what they have. They see him. You know that? That spirit world, they see. They see the angels. They see the good that is out there. They see the difference in the two kingdoms. They see it. They believe there's only one God. They see it. We're not doing anything different than the devils when we believe there's one God. It's what we allow God to do with us that makes the difference.
Yeah.
It says in 1 John 4, verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There's many that have gone out into the world. False prophets. Believe not every spirit. We believe in the true God. Oh, Lord. Help me to know what to finish with, Lord. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 16. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God.
Yes.
So God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Be not unequally yoked.
Amen.
Didn't we find that was something that we had to do when we got saved? There were some people that we were yoked up with. Had friends. And all, and we had let them go. Why? Not because they were leading us astray. Because we made up our minds we were going to go with God. It isn't because they were leading us astray. It was because of all the spirits that were around them all the time, working in them and through them and in their minds. And getting them to do things and all these things. We couldn't be a part of that. We couldn't be around that. It was too hard. Be not unequally yoked. It's why we tell our dear ones here in the church, go out there and find somebody in the world.
Amen.
If they're an unbeliever, you can end up having a very, very miserable life.
Yeah.
Unbelievers. It's all about the world to them. So, Now I want to talk about life and death. Romans 6, 8, and 9. Now if you be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Does that mean that if we believe, we shall also live? Does that mean death has no more dominion over us? John 6, verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Do you believe that God has prepared heaven for you? Do you believe that God has prepared a place for you? Do you believe you're going to raise on that last day? Do you believe you're going to have a new body? Do you believe that heaven is a holy place and that there's no sadness or burdens or cares there? Do you believe all of that?
Yes.
You do realize you have to die to get there. So why do we fight death? Why do we do that? Why are we afraid to die? Why are we afraid to go right now? What is happening? See, if we believe, we're going to see the glory of God. We believe in all these things. We believe in what will happen. We believe that. But yet, we're afraid of death. We're afraid of a little bit of pain or suffering before we die. We're afraid. Why are we afraid? God takes us through everything. Do we believe he's a rewarder of him that diligently seek him? Why are we so afraid? John 11, 26 is the last scripture. John 11, 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Yeah.
Believest thou this? Believest thou this? You're going to die. I'm trying. But it was like all of a sudden I knew all I had to do was just step across. I just had to step. Just a step. I was just right there. Right at the gate. I was just step across. Just go. And there was nothing there but peace and calm. And in the midst, I was in pain. Everybody was around me praying. You know, they were rushing me home. All these things were happening. But I was in a different place. When you get ready to cross over, you will be in a different place. You will not be where you are right now thinking about death.
This is not what you feel. This is not what is there. What is there is that God is there, and you are ready just to step over. And it's like everything just opens up. It just gets, you get clarity, and everything just opens up. And do you know, I never thought about it. I'm sorry, but I didn't. I didn't think about my children. Oh. All I thought about was, I can just step across. It was so clear, so void of any kind of a hindrance. Just listen. We do not have to be afraid of the things of this life. We believe in God. We need to exercise our belief. We need to go after the things in our lives that are against what we already believe that God can do. We look at some of the older ones and we say, oh, I want to be like them. And what you should be saying is, Lord, I can believe I can be like them. I believe I can get there. I had one older saint tell me, don't stop there. Thank you.